This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer, I'm a podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word, so follow us, like us, comment, do all the things you do on Instagram. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode, even though it's just going to be me bitching and moaning for close to a half hour about how horrible last night's game was against the Orioles. We'll have the post-mortem, I guess we'll call it, because it was just an awful loss all around. No, let's not say that. The pitching was good. Everything else about it was horrible. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the new Odyssey app, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. I'm recording this at nearly 1:30 p.m. on Thursday because it has taken me this long to calm down after last night's game. And I know, if you listen to this show regularly, you're probably laughing at me because I'm the one who always tells everyone to calm down. Calm down. It's too early. Calm down. It's only April. But last night's game made me want to defenestrate myself. And if you don't know what that word means, it means to throw someone out a window. I wanted to throw myself out the window after sitting through that game. It was so frustrating. The one positive, the pitching staff looks fantastic. And yes, Jameson Taillon had a couple of blemishes against him with those two solo home runs. But other than that, 7 strikeouts and 0 walks in 4 2/3 innings is pretty good, especially when you're coming back from not pitching for 707 days and coming back from Tommy John surgery. So I'm not going to blame him. If you can't beat Baltimore because they scored 2 runs against you, you don't deserve to win the game. The Yankees once again stranded a small village on base, and because of that stupid, asinine rule that they have in extra innings, they ended up losing the game. Now, a lot of people will say that that extra inning rule actually favors the home team, but it didn't in this case. And the other thing about that rule is, if both teams score with their runner on second, then the game goes into another inning. So you're not really shortening the game if the teams keep trading runs back and forth. So it just feels like a Little League rule. It doesn't feel like real baseball. I agree with everyone at Yankee Stadium who was chanting play real baseball because that was the perfect chant for what was happening last night. Now, yes, it's the Yankees' fault, the Yankees' lineup fault, let me clarify that, because the pitching was fine. It was the Yankees lineup's fault that they didn't win that game because they could not get the big hit. They did get one. I shouldn't say that. The bottom of the 10th, Kyle Higashioka got the big hit, scored Tauchman from second base. They tied the game. But that shouldn't even have been the case because they shouldn't even have had to tie that game but for Gleyber Torres and his horrible defense, which is rearing its ugly head in the first week of the season. Now, the play on both ends wasn't great. Gleyber's throw wasn't great. Jay Bruce at first wasn't great. But you can't do stuff like that in the latter innings of a game, especially extra innings when there's this chance of the Orioles scoring with that runner on second. So it was just a bad game overall, really frustrating. The Yankees start the season at home, 6 games, they finish 3-3. They're off today. They play Tampa this weekend. Tampa is 2-4 after their first 6, and they've lost 4 in a row. And that worries me, frankly, because usually, for some reason, if a team is on that kind of a roll in a bad direction, they'll turn things around. And I'm afraid that that's going to happen in Tampa, because the Yankees are, you know, lately, they used to be able to beat up on Tampa, but lately they have trouble playing in Tropicana Field. So I am not looking forward to this series. I think if the Yankees had swept Baltimore and didn't have the game that they had last night, I feel a little better going into this series against Tampa. But right now, my confidence is shaken. And again, you can make fun of me for this, because I'm always preaching that it's too early to worry. And honestly, I'm not worried. It's still April. You know, there have been years where the Yankees have started off awfully. Like, just 2019, they didn't really start off that well, right? And then they turned things around. 2007, they were awful for the first almost half of the year. And then they turned things around and were able to make the wild card. So, you know, it's too early to panic. Last night was just really frustrating. And it was the failure with runners in scoring position on top of that stupid extra inning rule that doesn't help anyone. Well, it helped the Orioles, but it doesn't help the pace of play. It really doesn't. It should have been a COVID-only rule. I know we're still in COVID times, but it's not the same. You're letting fans back into the stadium. Teams are being vaccinated. By the way, the Yankees have passed the 85% threshold for both the actual whole staff of the Yankees and the players. The players are also over the 85% threshold for vaccinations. They were all getting vaccinated, or not all, but the ones who were getting vaccinated got the Johnson & Johnson shot last night, which is one shot, so they're done. And it was smart of them to do that with the off day today and having to travel down to Tampa. In case they do feel any side effects, at least they'll have the day off to recover from it. In a moment, I will shine the spotlight on the positives from last night, because there were some. As I said, the pitching was really good, and there were some hitters who actually did well, even though the Yankees couldn't get anything done with runners in scoring position. But first, BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You can bet on the NBA, you can bet on the NHL, you can bet on baseball, you can bet on baseball games, you can bet on the future, you can bet who's going to win the Cy Young, who's going to win the MVP, who's going to make the World Series and win it, who's even going to make the playoffs, win the divisions, all that good stuff. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. You still have a couple weeks until the Oscars. You can still make bets on that. You get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. As I teased, let's focus on the positives from last night, because there were some positives. As I mentioned, Jameson Taillon made his first start in 707 days. That's a really long time. And he did well. You know, sure, he only lasted 4 2/3, and I told you all not to expect him to pitch 6 or 7 innings because he was on a pitch count. But, you know, aside from those two blips, the solo home runs that he gave up, he struck out 7. He didn't walk anyone. That's a good sign. And actually, I think it took until extra innings before the whole Yankee pitching staff gave up a walk in last night's game. So that's impressive. And Gerrit Cole didn't give up a walk the previous night. So again, Yankees pitching is not the issue. It is the hitting. But as I said, we're going to be positive here. So let's talk about Jameson Taillon. We'll have quotes and all that good stuff. First, let's break down his arsenal. Last night, he threw, it was 74 pitches, not 75. Why did I think it was 75? I think John Sterling said it was 75 last night when he left the game. But anyway, he threw, according to Baseball Savant, 31 four-seam fastballs, 23 sliders, 17 curveballs, 3 changeups. He got 17 swings, 5 whiffs on the fastball, 11 swings, 4 whiffs on the slider, 6 swings, 2 whiffs on the curveball, and 1 swing on the changeup. His max was 95 miles an hour on the dot. His average on his fastball was 93.3. So as I said, Tyone gave up 2 home runs. The first one he gave up to Cedric Mullins, and it was an 85-mile-an-hour changeup, 85.2 miles an hour, middle. There was no way that he was not going to hit that as a home run. And then the next home run he gave up was to Anthony Santander. I can't say that guy's name right. I'm so sorry. And that was on a 93.2 mile an hour four-seam fastball that was also middle, slightly higher in the zone, but he got all of it, hit it to center field. That was pretty far, actually. 401 feet. The Mullins home run, oh yeah, that was far too. That was 5 feet longer. It was 406. So, you know, sometimes this happens. You throw pitches right in the middle of the zone. Guys are going to hit it. We saw it the other night with Giancarlo Stanton. And the other thing that was bad about this was Tyone went 9 up, 9 down. And then in the next round of at-bats, you know, Cedric Mullins is the leadoff hitter. And he led off the second round of at-bats with a home run. Trey Mancini comes up. He strikes out swinging. So you're thinking, okay, he's getting things together. Then Santander hits the home run in the next at-bat. And you're thinking, uh-oh, things are turning around. Then Tyone strikes out Mountcastle and he strikes out Franco. So he strikes out the side while giving up 2 home runs. So other than those 2 blips, Tyone looked good. The most important thing, and I keep saying this all the time, is his health. He looked happy last night after the game. He talked to reporters about the emotions he was feeling having his first start in 707 days.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, extremely grateful. I didn't really have time to reflect while I was out there. I had some time once I was done. That game ran a little long, and I had plenty of time to get in my thoughts. And this is going to sound cheesy, but I'll never take a day in a big league uniform for granted, that's for sure. So I was super happy to be out there. Felt really good to compete. You know, good to get the first one out of the way. Really excited to be a part of this team and now just to kind of build off of this and get going.
How would you assess your performance as a whole?
Thought I made a lot of really good pitches, competed well. I thought the breaking balls were pretty good. Kind of an inexcusable home run to Mullins, you know, getting beat on my 4th best pitch there. Just not a very good pitch. And then just, I mean, really two bad pitches sum it up. But overall, I thought I made more really good pitches than bad. And something to build off of and hopefully get that pitch count going in the right direction after this.
Do you leave this outing encouraged?
Yeah, yeah, I'm healthy. I thought the ball was coming out really well. I thought the mechanics held up in the most competitive environment that I've been in yet. So definitely really encouraged.
Hey, Jameson. Gerrit Cole has talked a lot about how excited he was to be able to watch you make this comeback. What was it like to share that moment in the dugout once you got done?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Gerrit knows what I've put into this. I've stayed in touch with him even before I was a Yankee, just throughout my throwing program. He's someone I obviously respect as a friend and teammate, and he helped me a lot with my mechanics. I was sending him videos. He kept me really encouraged. So once I got off the mound, I forget exactly what he said, but, you know, he just everyone understands what I've been through, but he really understands because he's known me for a long time. So he just made a comment about, you know, welcome back and first of many and stuff like that. And, you know, I think he knows how important this was to me to get back on a big league mound. So he's a guy that definitely understands the magnitude of it for me.
And what kind of cheering section did you have here for you tonight?
Tonight, girlfriend Claire and her mom were here. And then my agent made it and a couple people from my agency. And then in Florida for my next one, I'll have my mom and my brother who lives down in Florida. So throughout the year with COVID and stuff, I'll start having more and more. And I got a lot of texts, a lot of people from back home that I haven't talked to in a while that were tuned in, which is really, really special.
In a moment, we'll talk more about last night's game. Again, we're going to try and focus on the positive, but first, it's time to talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They come in 18 amazing flavors. My favorites, as I say all the time, mint brownie, double chocolate, coconut almond, coconut brownie chunk is a new flavor. Really good. Built Bars are great for the health conscious person. They're great if you want to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious, decadent treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for the keto diet. Again, that coconut brownie chunk bar does not taste like it's good for you. The first time I bit into that bar, my first thought was, there's no way this is actually good for me, but it is. If you go to BuiltBar.com and you use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, as I always say, that means next, not first. So if you've ordered 25 Built Bar boxes, you can still get 15% off. Again, I recommend mint brownie if you like that combo. Anything with coconut in it is really good, and double chocolate is just fantastic. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. I don't know about you, but I can't do fantasy baseball. I forget about it within 2 or 3 weeks. And there was one year where I forgot about it for 2 or 3 weeks, never updated my roster, never did anything, and I still finished second to last. Someone actually did worse than me, and I don't understand how that's possible, but, you know, what are you going to do? And that was a weird year. I think I did an auto draft also, because the first time I ever did fantasy baseball, I was so annoyed that I didn't get any of the players I wanted, and it wasn't going to be all Yankees. I'm not that type of fantasy baseball player. Then I did an auto draft, and it picked me up 7 Yankees that year. I think it was 2012, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that was the year this happened. I had Gardner, I had Mo, and of course Mo, that was the year that he hurt his knee. It was just funny that I vowed, no, I'm not going to pick up all these Yankees. And then that's what happened when I did the auto draft. So let's discuss last night and the positive stuff about last night. Let's look at more pitching, because Tyone was not the only Yankee pitcher who had a good game. So after Tyone pitched his 4 2/3, Nick Nelson came in, pitched 1 1/3, struck out 2, didn't give up a hit, didn't give up a run, didn't walk anyone. Darren O'Day pitched 1 inning, struck out 1, zeros across the board. Other than that, Jonathan Loaisiga, same thing, 1 inning, 1 strikeout, all the rest zeros. Aroldis Chapman, 1 inning, 3 strikeouts. Chad Green was the first Yankee reliever to blow things, I guess, for the Yankees, if you can say that. He had 1 strikeout. He gave up the first walk all game, and that didn't happen until extra innings. He gave up 2 runs on 1 hit in 1 1/3. Luis Sessa pitched 2/3 of an inning, walked 1, struck out 2. Overall, the Yankees pitchers had 17 strikeouts to 2 walks. They gave up 2 earned runs, 4 runs overall, and then the 2 home runs that Tyone gave up. And the Yankees batters left 23 on base, struck out 10 times, walked 2 times, had 3 runs on 13 hits. The Orioles had 4 runs on 4 hits. That is just, yeah, that's frustrating. That is the type of game that makes you want to bang your head. The Yankees are off today, which is good for everyone, including Aaron Judge. He did not play last night because his side is sore. So the person that I had mentioned on the show yesterday, I didn't want to name, who I accused of fear-mongering, was very proud of himself for being right about Aaron Judge being hurt. I don't think this is the type of thing that you should brag about, but okay. Anyway, we don't know the extent of the injury. Everyone's assuming he's going to go on the IL because it's following a pattern that's happened over the last 3 years. Oh, he's okay. He's just sore. We're just going to sit him out. It's precautionary. No, we're not going to get tests on him. Then they'll probably end up getting tests on him. They'll find out something's really wrong with him, and then he'll land on the IL. The only positive about this is the Yankees are facing the Rays and the Jays in the next six games, but it's the Rays at Tropicana Field, so they're three games on turf, but it's the Jays in Dunedin because the Blue Jays are not allowed in Canada. No one's allowed in Canada. No one can go there. So the Yankees will be playing them in Florida on grass, so it's not like they're going to have back-to-back series on turf, which works out well for the injury-prone Yankees for now. We'll see. But again, we don't have any new news on Judge. I feel terrible for assuming the worst. I really do. And the other night, you could tell he was taking things easy. And, you know, he winced. There was this one foul ball that he didn't quite really go after, and some people were mad at it. And then I saw the look on his face, and I thought, yeah, I think he's trying not to hurt himself. But as I said yesterday, if he can go 3 for 5 with a home run and a run-scoring single with a sore side, I mean, there's no telling what this man can do if he's completely healthy. Or maybe there is, because we have seen him healthy, and we've seen him healthy hitting 500-foot home runs, so I would love for that Aaron Judge to come back. The series against the Rays starts tomorrow, Friday, but my Friday show is going to have a guest, and I won't be able to do my normal previewing of the series. So here we go. I will do a brief preview right now. Tomorrow afternoon's matchup, because Tampa started on the road. It's their home opener. I forgot about that. So sorry. It's a 3:10 start in Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg. It'll be on YES. It'll be on WFAN. And it'll feature Corey Kluber making his second start as a Yankee, and Rich Hill, or Dick Mountain, depending on your name preference for him, making his start for the Rays. Hill did not do that well in his first start of the season against the Marlins. He was chased from the game after four innings, got a no decision. He actually pitched as a Yankee. He pitched 5 1/3 innings, and he hasn't faced the Yankees since 2016. As for Kluber, he got the no decision in the Yankees' victory on Saturday. He held the Blue Jays to 2 runs, 1 earned, 5 hits over 4-plus innings. He tossed 74 pitches. He walked 3, struck out 5. That's kind of funny. Kluber and Tyone both had limited starts because obviously they're coming back from injury, but they both pitched just over 4 innings and they both tossed 74 pitches. I like when stuff like that happens. Saturday's game is a 1:10 start in Tropicana Field, and it will feature Domingo Germán making his second start of the season against Chris Archer, who's making his return to the Rays. Last Saturday, he made his first start since August 20th of 2019. He pitched 2 innings, allowed 4 runs, 3 earned. But he's held the Yankees to a 3.14 ERA in his career, which is the third lowest among teams that he's faced at least 10 times. 3.14. Let's quiz. What is that? It's pie, people. Anyway, Germán only lasted 3 innings in his return to the rotation. He surrendered 2 home runs to the Blue Jays in a 68-pitch start, and he posted a 1.38 ERA across 13 spring innings, so he's looking to improve from that start. That was the start on Sunday where he had to be taken out, and Michael King basically threw a start, and maybe if Michael King had started the game, the Yankees could have won. Actually, don't be surprised if the Yankees go to King when they play the Jays in Dunedin next week. Interesting, all three games against the Rays are day games. Okay, so Sunday, Jordan Montgomery is listed for the Yankees. No one is listed for the Rays. Jordan Montgomery had a very strong outing for his first start of 2021. He lasted 6 innings. He was the first Yankee starter to do that in 2021. Then Gerrit Cole did the same thing. Actually, he pitched 1 inning better. But anyway, back to Montgomery. He pitched a gem in his debut. He held the Orioles to 4 hits in 6 innings, no runs, and he struck out 7 without a walk, which is what Jameson Taillon did. So yeah, again, the Yankees' issues so far this season, it's very young, only 6 games, but so far the pitching has been stellar. It's the hitters that need to get things going. Coming up on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Yankees, I have a very special guest. I will not tell you who it is. I will not reveal it until the show itself, which will be fun for me and not for you. But I will say this. He's a fantastic broadcaster. He was a fantastic player. He's an all-around good guy. We had a really fun conversation, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the new Odyssey app, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Fantasy Baseball. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.